He's a good kid. I'm so glad he got to come and be a part of camp meeting. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And boy, would you agree that preaching this week and singing has been spot on? Amen. Anointed, and I have been so blessed by what the Lord has done. 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'm going to begin there in verse 1. Do me a favor, when you find 2 Kings in chapter 6, and you get to verse 1, shout a big amen.
Amen.
If you said amen, or even if you didn't, stand real quick. Reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. Take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there where we may dwell. He answered, go ye. One said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Verse 4. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was failing a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. The man of God said, where fell it? He showed him the place. There's that word again, place. He showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Would everybody look up here? Jot down in your Bible. That's a miracle right there. And the iron did swim. Verse 7 and 8. Therefore said he, just verse 7. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. I want to preach a question to you. I want every pastor, every worker, every man, every lady, every boy and girl to listen to this question. Have you lost something? I got two amens and a grunt. Have you lost something? Father, I thank you today for the reading of the Word of Almighty God. Thank you for that sermon on leaving a lasting legacy. Pray, God, that we would be the people that we would influence those that you have told us and instructed us to be an influence to. Father, we thank you for the powerful singing that we have heard. We thank you for this good place that we have got to come to camp meeting and experience the grace of God and the power of God. I've opened your divine book. I have read from heaven's divine library. Now for a moment, hide this 41-year-old evangelist behind the cross. Loose my mouth and tongue. Let the gospel ring with clarity and with boldness and with power. If there's anybody lost on a Monday morning, let this be the day that they look to you and get born again. God, if there's any that is weak and any that is downtrodden, that you would uplift them, encourage us, and use us for your cause. God, we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
You may be seated. I am convinced, Brother Billy, there are some things that you can lose. I am convinced you can lose your joy. I am convinced you can lose your peace. You can lose your vision. You can lose your desire to worship and praise the God of heaven. Do you agree with me? You can lose your desire to come to the house of God. It reminds me of the elderly couple. The husband said to his wife, he said, honey, I'm going to go get some ice cream. Do you want any ice cream? She said, sure, I'd love some ice cream. She said, but I'm going to tell you, honey, you better jot it down or you're going to forget what I want. He gives her that blank stare and he says, honey, I know you want ice cream. I'm going to get you some. Do you want anything on your ice cream? She said, well, being jazzed, I wouldn't mind some strawberries. But you better jot it down. He said, I got it. You want ice cream and strawberries. And do you want anything else? She said, well, sure, honey. She said, I'll take some whipped cream. But I'm telling you, you better write it down. He gives her that blank stare and says, I got it. You want ice cream, strawberries, and whipped cream. Do you want anything else on the ice cream? Well, being asked, I wouldn't mind some nuts. But you better jot it down. He wanders off. I got it. You want ice cream, strawberries, whipped cream, and nuts. I'll be right back. He goes into the kitchen. 20 minutes have come and gone. He brings back a plate with 2 eggs and 3 pieces of bacon. And she said, just like I thought, you forgot the toast. Everybody look up here. That couple had lost something. They were losing it. Now, I'm not going to preach on memory loss. Some of y'all had way too much equal. But I am going to tell you that when we come to 2 Kings chapter 6, do you realize that there is a young man that has an axe? And the axe head fell into the water and he's serving God and he lost something. If you agree with that, shout a big amen. And so I said, God, how could I make it where we are? And Brother Billy, this is what I like. Elisha is the Bible college president. Now I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Brother Mike, if anybody should have been the president, it should have been Elisha. He knew about the power and the glory and the power of God. And he is the Bible college president. The college is growing so fast. In verse 1, the Bible said, the place where we dwell, there is too straight for us. It simply means it's too small. And we've got to add on. I am convinced they wasn't a rich Bible college. They couldn't hire anybody to do the work. They had to do the work themselves. Brother Joy, they didn't have anybody to construct it and to build it. So they go off to build it themselves. And here's how poor they was. They didn't even have the money to have their own tools. They had to borrow the tool. If you agree, shout amen. But here's what happened in the process of working and serving the Lord. This young man, Brother Mike Hutzel, is chopping down trees. The axe head gets loose and falls into the Jordan River. And everybody look up here because this will be the thrust and the theme of my sermon. This young man makes a remarkable discovery. You cannot cut down trees with wood. Now, I know this is real deep. You might ought to jot some stuff down. You cannot cut down trees with wood. I don't know. You can work in the energy of the flesh. You can do the best you know how to do. You can chop as hard as you know how to chop. You can consistently hit that wood over and over and over again. But the tree will not fall. Would you agree with the man of God? We are living in a generation that is trying to cut down trees without the presence and without the power and without the cutting edge. That is where we are. If you agree, would you shout a big amen? You would have to admit the modern day church think she can just show up and have no prayer life and have no relationship with God and the glory just fall in the house. Would anybody agree? Ladies and gentlemen, you can't just come to the pulpit without praying. You can't sing a song without a relationship with God. Would anybody agree? We need the power of the living God. I don't know about you. I could preach a while right there, but here's what I'll tell you. The modern day church has forgotten about the cutting edge and the presence and the power of God. And you would have to admit, when you read Brother David Crowe, when you read in the book of Acts, that church had power. Brother Billy, when they prayed, buildings shook. When they prayed, jail houses rocked. When they walked into a place, they turned the place upside down for Jesus Christ. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but how many would agree? We desperately need the cutting edge in the house of the living God. Here's where I'm going. I thought about this, Brother Darren. I thought about the NASCAR crowd. I thought about the football crowd. I thought about the concert crowd. Would everybody look up here? We're not the NASCAR crowd. We're not the football crowd. We're not the concert crowd. We are the church of the living God. We've been redeemed by love divine. We are full of the Holy Ghost. Is anybody hearing me? We are not fueled by what they're drinking. I'm drinking from something else, baby. I'm drinking from my salsa because my cup has overflowed. It is the power of the living God. Woo! Sometimes you just got to shout on your own sermon if nobody else does. Can I tell you, Brother Mike Hutzel, we are not fueled by what they're fueled by. We are fueled by the presence of the living God. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God rose Jesus out of that grave. The Spirit of God moved in the book of Acts. The Spirit of God moved at Sardis Free Will Baptist Church. And would anybody agree, we desperately need the power of God. I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to look at me. I'm going to tell you anyhow. Do you agree we do not exist by a preacher? We do not exist by a singing group. We do not exist, this is going to shock some of you, by a program. We do not exist by a personality. We exist by the power and the presence of the living God of glory. And if we're going to impact this kingdom and we're going to impact this carnal world, we got to have the presence, we got to have the power, we got to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Whew. I'm trying to stay calm. It is Monday. Somebody say amen right there. Brother Craig, here's what I'll say. We are missing something. What have you lost? Some things we have lost. There are three ways I got good news. I got good news. I've only got three ways we can recover what we've lost. You better be glad I don't have seven. There are three ways, Brother Kenny, to recover what we've lost. Number one, jot this down. I'll be brief. Recognize the problem. Recognize the problem. They get to work. The Bible said they cut down wood. The word cut means to divide. They were working not very long, Donnie. As they get out there and work in the kingdom, axes are swinging and chips are flying, trees are falling to the ground. Now, I hope you don't take this wrong. Everybody look up here at my hands. My hands were not made for a lot of things. I'm not really good at fixing homes. I'm not really good at laying brick. I can already see someone thinks I'm lazy. Look up here. I didn't say I ain't scared of work. I didn't say I wouldn't get up in the morning and try. Sometimes, Brother David Crowe, Dr. Crowe, I walk into Lowe's and just go down the power tool section so I'll feel like a man. I mean, I just go in there and say, ugh. Hey, I don't know how to use one of them, but I like to walk down the aisle. Touch it. Act like I... You don't want to let me have the power tool, I'll ruin everything you got. My hands, Billy Michael, were made to hold a Bible. My hands were made to stand behind a pulpit and raise them up and declare from the rooftop that He's King of Kings and He's Lord of Lords. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Do you understand? We need the power of God. Hold up. You say, man, that God, is that all you got? No, I got a little more. Can I tell you what we need is the wind of God? Can I tell you what we need is the power of God? Can I tell you, you listen to me, you know what you're singing, you know what your singing group needs? Power of God. You know what your choir needs? Not more melodious tunes. Not more harmony. Your choir needs more power. Can I tell you what your preacher needs? Not a fancy outline. Not three matching points. Your preacher needs the wind of God and the power of God and the breath of God. Would anybody agree? When the wind of God blows in the house of God, sleeping saints wake up. When the wind of God blows, lost people walk out and get born again at the altar of prayer. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but the wind of God will blow lethargy and apathy out of the building. I don't know how y'all could stay so calm, but you're doing real good. It'll blow self-righteousness and self-centeredness and self-sufficiency out of your church. Can I tell you what'll cure your church? A good windstorm. Oh, and I'm not talking about you talking, baby. I'm talking about the power and the presence of God moving in the house of the living God. Let me say this. I'll go. You need to jot this down. Brother Joey, here it is. Pastor Joey, here it is. I want you to look with me. In the Bible it said, but as one in verse 5, go to verse 5. But as one was failing a beam. Jot this down. Where was he when he lost the power? He was busy. When he lost the power. Brother Steve, I said he was busy when he lost the power. Now I'm going to go ahead and tell you, all of y'all were shouting so good earlier, but now I'm looking you in the face. You can fill the pulpit and lose the power. You can sing in the choir and lose the power. You can teach your Sunday school class and lose the power. I'm preaching better than you amening right now. You can go to church every Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you ain't gonna like it, and lose the power. This man, as one was failing a beam, he's busy. You look up here, he wasn't taking a picnic, he wasn't taking a nap. It blows my mind. Everybody thinks evangelists sleep till noon. This morning, 6 o'clock, my eyes was... The older I get, the quicker I get up. Don't sleep as good as I used to. Hey, you say, but man of God, you probably went to bed at 10. Look up here. You think a preacher goes to bed at 10? We ain't got enough sense to go to bed that early. But listen, he was busy. He was out there working, not taking a picnic. He was dividing a beam. And listen, he was not living in sin. He was not slacking. He was busy. During a revival service, they had the good revival. One man stood up and said, man, we've had revival. He said, I quit my cussing. Don't y'all laugh. He said, I had revival. I'm going to tell you, I would to God some of us would have revival and we'd quit some of that stuff. Shout amen. Another guy stood up, Brother Benny, and said, you know, I've had revival. I stopped my drinking. Thank God. Another man stood up and said, you know what? He said, I had a real move of God this week. He said, I quit my puffing. Had a powerful move. There was a saint of God in there, a precious woman that loved God, and she served God. I'm telling you, had a relationship with God, and she racked her brain trying to think of something she had done, and she couldn't think of nothing. And here's what she said. She said, I ain't done nothing, and I'm going to quit it. Some of that's sinking in right now. I ain't done nothing, I'm going to quit it. Can I tell you what real revival would be? If all the people that ain't doing nothing would quit it. Woo! We could have a revival, a move of God. If you agree, shout amen. He was busy. I'll say this and I'll go. I do believe God called us to be busy. I do believe God called us to serve. And we ought to serve God with passion, as we heard earlier. Whether you're a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, or you're a pastor, or you're an evangelist, we ought to serve God. Now I want you to look with me. I'm still dealing with, you got to recognize the problem. Go a little further. Then he cried in verse 5. He cried and said, alas, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Everybody look at that word, alas. That word, alas, Brother Darren, means, oh, no. Let me put this in Arkansas talk. Oh, no! I lost it! Can I tell you, the average church member would have said this? Oh, well. I'm preaching better than your amen and right now. Oh well, we don't have any power. Oh well, we don't have anything to do. Hey, oh well, I'll get up and sing. I ain't prayed any. Oh well, I ain't even looked in my Bible. Oh well. He said, oh no, I lost what I need. Jot this down. If you're a note taker, he was busy when he lost it. And he was bothered when he lost it. Can I go ahead and look you in the eye and tell you, it ought to bother us when people aren't being born again. It ought to bother us when there's no power of God in the house of God. It ought to bother us when we don't see the results of the wind of God. Hey, I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm telling you, we're having seminars on how to polish the axe head. And Brother Kenny, we're having seminars on how to take wood and improve your swing. And look good doing it. Help us, Lord Jesus. I don't know about you. I don't want to look good doing it. I want what works. And what works is the power. What works is the presence. What works is the anointing. Ladies and gentlemen, and if the power and the presence of God can't get it done, it can't get done. If you agree, shout amen. Without the power of God, Pastor Billy, it ought to bother us. Still in verse 5. He was busy when he lost it. He was bothered when he lost it. Then you'd already know where I'm going. For it was borrowed. Everybody look up here. He was using a tool that wasn't even his own. Has it ever dawned on you? God's given you a tool that ain't your own. Oh, Mike, when you stand up, Teresa, when you stand up and you sing the glory down, I hate to tell you, it ain't your singing ability. It ain't your melodious tone. It is the anointing and the power and the presence of the living God. I thought about the Parsons. Son, how many would agree? I'm telling you, if I could sing like them guys, Mike and Teresa and the Parsons, I'd sing my sermons. Oh, y'all act so dignified if you want. I'd sing mine. I want to tell you something, though. I watch them girls praying and raising their hands, crying and worshiping God. And Brother Mike, I want to tell you something. It touches me. I'm going to tell you something. You know why? Because I know there's a pull out there. I know there's a struggle out there. But they're in the house of God, raising their hands, glorifying the King of Kings. And can I go ahead and tell you, it's not their tool. God gave it to them. God breathed it on them. And would you agree with me? We're using something in the service that ain't even our own. It is the power and the presence of the living God. The Jerry Huff, I'll say it like this, and I think you'll agree. He cried, "Oh no, it's not mine. Oh no, it was borrowed." John the Baptist said, "We have nothing unless we receive it from heaven." Paul told the Corinthian church, Tom Hill, "We got everything we got comes from heaven." Hold up. Do you realize if you're using something that's not yours, you either stole it or borrowed it? I need to hit the rewind button because some of y'all ain't got that yet. If you're using something that is not yours, you either stole it or borrowed it. Can I tell you, there's only one thing you can steal from God. That's the tithe. Well, Brother Derek, you ain't supposed to be preaching on tithe. Well, look up here. I'm an evangelist. We just preach whatever comes to us. Hey, do you understand God can do more with your 90% than you can do with 100%? I got thinking about this. I thought about abilities and talents and gifts. I thought about people that know how to administrate, people that are good with money. Can I go ahead and tell you something? I hope I don't shock you with this. That's a bar. If you're a good preacher, and God's put His touch on you, it's borrowed too. If you know how to play the piano and you know how to make it do just right, it's a borrowed too. Reminds me of the gentleman that walks over. Brother David Crow goes to a guy he loves and he said, "Can I borrow you too?" He said, "Sure." He said, "I'll bring it back. I'll bring it back." He said, "No, I'll come in a week or two and I'll pick it back up." Darren, a week went by and 2 weeks went by and the man knocks on his door. The man that borrowed the tool said, "It's in the garage. I'll be back." He goes in the garage. He turns over everything in the garage. He cannot find the tool. 30 minutes later, he comes back to the door. And he said, "Sir," he said, "I'll have to get back to you. I apologize." And the man had a disgust look on his face. Here's why. He had given him the responsibility to keep up with the tool. Can I tell you, one day, I'll stand before God the Father. And the tool He gave me, Billy, He might not have gave you, but He gave you a tool He didn't give me. And I will give an account of what He gave me. He didn't give me Mike Blanton's tool. He didn't give me Darren or Steve's tool or Mike Hutzel's tool. He gave me my own tool. But would you agree with me? When I stand before God, I'll lay it before Him. I am responsible to keep up with what He gave. Hold up. I'm just as shocked as everybody in the room. It feels early. I was hoping for an amen, but I didn't get one. If you don't mind, jot this down. I'm already on point number two. Got to recognize the problem, number two. Go to verse 6. The man of God, I like that. The man of God said, where fell it? Jot this down. Number two. If we're going to recover what we've lost, we got to recognize the problem, number two. We got to return to the place. Man of God, where fell it? And the Bible said he showed him the place. Brother Mike, the word place means location. The last place you had it. Let me ask you a question. I think you'll all, any of y'all married, if you're married, raise your hand. Let me see it. I hate to break this to you. Can I tell you one of the reasons you got married? So he or her could help you find the stuff you lost. Hey, you can't tell me, Joey. You can't tell me, Bridget. Don't. Hey, you lose something, whether it's your wallet, whether it's your whatever, my cell phone, and my keys, honey. Where's my keys? And she says the most remarkable thing. Where was the last place you had it? Now, hey, don't think Bridget's the only one. My wife says the same thing. Hey, you can't tell me. You ain't asked Sarah, honey, where did I leave it? Where was the last place you had it? Now, I know this is real deep and you're just not getting it, but I'm telling you, they are good to tell us where we had it. And something is missing. You return to the place. Jot this down. There are two quick things I'll give you. There was a sincere question. Where did it fall? Recall the last place you had it. Can I tell you, I'm preaching to people on this Monday morning that have lost their joy. I'm preaching to people that have lost their vision. I'm preaching to people that have lost their dream. I'm preaching to people that have quit dreaming, period. I'm preaching to people that has lost the power. And you say, well, man of God, where am I going to find what I've lost? The last place you had it. Now, I know this is real deep, and I need you to get your pens and papers out and jot this down. The place of departure is always the place of recovery. Woo. Hey, I said the place of departure is the place of recovery. If you agree, shout amen. Now let me do this. I said two. Sincere question. Then look at this. There was a serious quest. He said, Pastor Billy, he said, where fell it? And he showed him the exact place. I don't know. I think you Bible students know that the Jordan River is the dirtiest river in Israel. And when that axe head fell into muddy waters, you believe what you want to. But if it would have been visible, there'd have been no need to ask where it was. And it's up. This is so deep, I can tell y'all ain't getting this. Hey, and it fell in and it sinks to the bottom there and it goes all the way down. And here's the serious question, where did it fall? I am convinced, Brother Billy, there are a few thoughts I want to give you people. I believe the murky waters of schedule has made us lose His presence. We got too much on our plates. We got too much on our plates to pray. We got too much on our plates to make God first and preeminent. We got too much on our plates. I'm preaching better than your amen. And we put God on the back burner of our lives. And we wonder why we are frustrated. And we wonder why we don't have any power. And we wonder why we're not influencing. And we're not making a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, without the cutting edge, without the power of God, we cannot make a difference in this planet. Hold up. I said murky waters of schedule. I'll be quick. Then there are the messy waters of storms. How many, let me ask you, anybody been in a storm lately? Brother Billy, storm could be a bad doctor's report, a broken relationship, a broken home. I said, God, what do you want me to preach? He said, Derek, the murky waters of schedule has made us lose the power. The messy waters of storms has made us lose the power. Now, we're not going to like this, but we must preach it. The last one I want to give you is this. The muddy waters of sin. Sin will rob you of the power of God. A man said the other day, he said, Dr. Crow, he said this, he said, I cannot, he said, I don't understand, I don't have a desire to go to church, I don't have a desire to worship, I don't have a desire to go to revival, and he said, I don't understand, I cannot put my finger on why I don't have a desire. But then he remembered, a year ago, accidentally, his words, he accessed on his iPhone internet pornography. And I want you to look up here because we act like that's just for all them other churches. We're battling it right here in South Alabama. People are battling it right here in this room. And some of you, and here's what he said. He said, I don't understand. He said, if I don't get to my phone, he said, if I don't get to my phone, he said, my hand begins to twitch. Can I go ahead and tell you? He's bound by that pornography. And if he don't view it, if he don't get online, if he don't look at it, his hand twitches. Someone said, well, Brother Derek, do you think that's why he lost his desire? Yeah, I believe that's why he lost his desire. I believe that's why he lost his power. I believe that's why he didn't want to worship and he didn't want to go to revival. You believe what you want to, but unconfessed sin in your life or my life will rob me of my purity, will rob me of the power of the living God. Unconfessed sin. Jot this down. We got to recognize the problem. We got to return to the place. I'm done. Last one, I'm done. We got to reclaim the power. Look at verse 6. The man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. I like this. Everybody look at this. And he did what? He cut down a stick. Everybody, just do me a favor. Just humor the evangelist. Everybody say, stick. Son, I'm blown away by how many times God uses insignificant little things that we just overlook. Stick. I don't know. Maybe y'all got a different mindset. But he cut down the stick. The Bible said, Brother Billy, that Christ in the Old Testament, he is called the righteous branch. Hold up. Whoa! You say, well, you ought not shout. Well, you should have shouted so I didn't have to. Hey, Jesus is the righteous branch. I can't prove this, and I don't think you'll be able to disprove it. God told Moses, throw down the stick. And it turned into a snake. Have I ever told you at Sardis, I don't like snakes. The only good snake is a... Yeah, you got it, baby. And God told him something. That you just, if anybody else would have told me, I wouldn't have done it. Pick it up by the tail. You better have more sense than that. You don't pick snakes up by the tail. But God told him to. Now, Craig, I don't know. Maybe this is wrong. And Moses probably, if he's anything like me, he'd have said, God, are you sure? Are you sure? Sure. God said, pick it up. And this might have been the place he got his stuttering problem. Brother Derek, I think you read too much into that text. Maybe I did. Forgive me, God. I might have missed that. But you listen to me and hear my heart. Hear my heart. Brother Jerry, he throws in the righteous branch. He throws in the stick. And the iron did swim. You say, man of God, you got anything right there? Yeah. Can I tell you, irons, axe heads that's made of iron don't float. Hey, look up here. This is good. They don't rise to the top. They sink. Cruise ships floats. Boats floats. Axe heads sink. Look up here. It didn't have no rudder. It didn't have no propeller. It didn't have no engine. And you got to hear this. The Bible said, Billy Michael, the Bible said the iron did swim. I don't know if I can pull it off, but that axe head was moving. Swimming. I don't know how you swim, baby, but you got to move to swim. Hey, putting your toe in the water isn't swimming. I know that. Hey, come on, somebody. You say, but Derek, I don't believe it. I don't believe you believe what you want to, Brother Mike. So I believe that the iron did swim like the Bible said. God did a miracle. You throw the righteous branch in the murky waters of schedule, in the messy waters of storm, waters of sin, and you watch it rise to the top, baby. There's a wind, there's a power of God that can do what cannot be done. But I said I'd close. I'm done. I got one nugget and I'm done. Pull verse 7. Look at verse 7. And it said, therefore said he, take it up. Everybody look at that word. Take it up. Brother Joey, then he said he put out his hand. Look at this word. This is the one I'm going to give you and I'm done. And took it. The word took. The word took means seize the opportunity. When the iron, however it swam, I'm not smart enough to figure that out. But while it's floating, swimming, doing its stuff, the man of God walks over and he said, take it up, son. And that young servant took out his hand and seized the opportunity and took it back. Can I tell you, there's power in this room for your ministry, for your marriage, for your home. But when God adds the stick, it's your job to reach out and take it. Stand all over the room. Piano player, would you come?